Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Sana Cordy, and that's right, you tuned in to Taino Radio. It's Wednesday night, not Friday, new night, same cause, and you know what that means, right? Right, the drummers are getting together. This is the time that we all gather as one nation. So all you dancers, all you activists, all who are mourning the deaths of the children in those boarding schools, guess what? We're getting ready. Let's get our energy up. We're ready.
Yeah.
Fuerza del Señor.
Indigenous Power Hour activism. That's right. This is discussing all things indigenous, healing, resistance, and music. And with me, like always, her name is Indy41. What's up?
What up? What up, Turtle Island relatives? What's up, Mr. Santa Cory? How are you this evening?
Oh man, I'm doing all right. It's a little hot out here in New York City, Lenny Lenape territory, very humid. But we're here once again. Thanks for asking. How about you?
Well, you know, I'm in Nebraska and you know, the weather's just been odd. We've had rainy days and right now it's kinda cool. You know, it's a little different this, you know, for this time of year. Yeah, I'm trying to
that's good old climate change, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got that hurricane, you know. What is it called?
You got it up there? You got it by you, the hurricane?
No, not by us, but there's one that just hit. That
Elsa?
Yes. So, I mean, you know, imagine that. That's a whirlwind of, you know, different climates, you know, coming together. So, yeah, we're all going to be hit with that. It's going to, you know, obviously have an effect. And up by Sioux City recently, like no more than 2 weeks ago, they had an earthquake.
Wow. You're kidding me.
So,
Sioux City?
Yeah. And usually,
earthquake?
Yeah. Earthquake in, yeah. And so usually that precedes hurricanes. So there's a shift going on. There's a major shift going on, you know. And have you ever heard like the story of like, of the hurricane, there's a old story that it is those of the slave ships, the spirits of those that, you know, drowned at sea, you know, during the process. That's what I was told, story, you know, of belief that's, you know, that was the spirit of a hurricane. And I'm, you know, who knows? You know, all I know is, you know, a lot of moods have been shifted. But, you know, there's a lot going on right now. There is a lot going on, and it seems like it's, you know, it's more than just affecting us. It's, you know, it's affecting our entire environment, you know, and it's obvious.
Yeah.
Look what, you know, Mother Earth is doing.
Well, it's interesting because the Taino ancestors, there's two manifestations of the creatress. One is Mother Earth, the quiet waters, you know, the ponds, the rivers, which represents breastfeeding, life. And then there's another nature to this creatress, and it's Gualan Sesh, the hurricane. And she's the divine cleanser. She's the one that cleanses with the winds, the waters, connected to the menstrual cycle.
Mm.
And in our stories, Gualan Sesh, when she appears, it's time to cleanse. And there's two assistants. One is Guatauba, which you can relate in a native way, northern ways, the thunder beams are showing up, the hurricane,
sure.
I mean, the thunder and lightning.
That's Guataúba. And then there's Coatzistie that brings the waters up to the mountains. So it could be very dangerous, those waters, because it can wipe out villages. So when it does that, it's time to change. It's time to rebuild. So my ancestors had that understanding that when the hurricane comes, when those floodwaters show up, it's time to change your life, literally. You have to rebuild the homes. So there you go.
I agree. You
I'm
know?
Glad you brought that up. It's very Taino, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Share the, you know, the story, you know. I think, you know, a big part of, you know, why we remain separated as Indigenous and haven't, you know, come together, you know, in solidarity is a lot from that lost knowledge, you know. I know,
that's
especially
right.
In my family, you know, like I said, you know, my grandmother was a boarding school survivor, St. Francis, you know, and, you know, the history of that one, you know, and there was St. Mary's too, but it was so crazy because a lot of the boarding school babies in South Dakota, and that's what we're going to go into too, is talk about just how many schools here are here, you know. I know off the top of my head, there are 24 boarding schools in South Dakota alone.
So that's what's the, are they functional?
Some are still in operation. I know Flandreau is, you know, and most of those, I think they were, I mean, they haven't really shut down. They're still operational. I mean, that's kind of, you know, like I told, you know, we discussed in a prior show, that's pretty much how they also deal with juvenile services, at least up this way. I mean, that was the threat I faced and was, you know, if you messed up on probation, you know, you were sent to Flandreau. And that's up in South Dakota. So
well, here in New York, we call them like foster homes. See, in New York, we call them foster homes. Like they ship up.
Yeah, no.
They ship
are boarding.
The... Oh, okay. Yeah, because these.
No,
cause they have these places where they.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah, like, yeah, definitely. But what I was getting to is. When I went and I looked into the history of those, you know, they were owned by, okay, so we're talking Catholic boarding school, but the church itself, the property where they were churching or boarding out of was owned by the Methodists. And a lot of those boarding school children were taught a Mormon curriculum, a belief system. Oh,
yeah, the Mormons,
you know,
yes.
That, yeah, there's a lot of older relatives that, especially in this area, are Mormons, and that's how they were pretty much led to that belief was being in, you know, the boarding schools.
Wow. Now, Mormons is kind of my experience with the Mormons is they're not even Christian though. They're like, they have their own belief system. And as far as I know, they kind of strip the culture, right? From the native culture, from people.
And, you know, that's that whole Lewis and Clark, you know, that's how Nebraska's, National Guard got created was the battle at Little Bighorn, you know. So, I mean, you know, it hasn't been any, hasn't done us any justice, you know.
Yeah, you want to hear a cool story? I was outside my building once, I'm talking about maybe 10 years ago, I had my hand drum. I was going to an event, right? I had my hand drum, my rattle, and I didn't have a chance to pack up my drum, so I just had it in my hand. And there's a whole group of Mormons, right? And they pass me by because they always try to get registered, people registered, you know, and they go to the buildings. And I passed them, and all of a sudden I hear this young lady. She's like, hey, you got your drum. So I turn around. I'm like, yeah, what's up? And was an Apache teenager. She addressed me as, oh, I'm Apache, and my name is this, you know, and I don't even remember her name. So I started playing my drum. I'm like, hey, here you go, man, you know, ba, ba, ba. You know, I started playing my drum. And then she's like, where you from? And some Taino and this and that. And then quickly, this her posse of Mormons hushed her away. I remember that, like, yo, should I call 911? That's what I felt. Like.
Right.
I got to rescue this poor girl. And he just hushed her away, man. It was like, what the hell did I just saw? See?
Right. And it's, I don't know. I just, here in Nebraska, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of also Mennonite and Pentecostal. And, you know, it is a, you know, we're part of the Bible Belt, you know.
Yeah, the Pentecostal church is very aggressive.
Very. They can be. I've known a, I don't know, how do you separate the churches? I mean, I knew that, a church, one of them, a parish or something like that, or I don't know. And their service included snakes.
It includes a what? A snake?
Snakes, yeah. Yeah.
That they go into spirit, right? And they try to get these poisonous snakes to bite them?
Well, I don't know if they get them to bite them, but I just know they were part of the service, you know?
Yeah, those are really fundamentalists that, you know, they take the Bible literal. I think I want to say they're Pentecostal, but a very, very extreme, ultra-conservative set of Christian. Yeah, they use those poisonous snakes they use. Prove that the Holy Spirit is defending them from harm. Wow, that's crazy. I know the fastest growing church in America is the Pentecostal church. They're the fastest growing. They're very fundamentalist as well. They take the Bible literally. You know. Hey, I got a funny story. I know a man who's really he's a son of a Pentecostal bishop. Real cool guy. I went to school with him, and he used to, he's like the only Pentecostal I knew at the time that was really open to debate. And I remember telling him, yo, man, I don't think Jesus will enter your church. You know, I used to be, you know, tease him, you know. He's like, what do you mean? He says, yeah, man, you guys don't like wine. Jesus loves his wine. What's up with that, man? You know, so we should joke like that. But
Right.
It's just, they've taken over the Caribbean, the Pentecostal church, really difficult because they don't like the native way, indigenous teachings and traditions. They don't at all. Now, I respect religions, but I don't respect when you try to force your beliefs on a culture that's already established, you know, and you try to brainwash them. I don't like that.
Colonize them.
Colonizing is really keeping the tradition alive, right? Columbus.
You know, brainwash.
Now, I just want to say a few words because I know we got a lot of listeners from Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico. And I just want to say something in Spanish about that, okay, just to address that issue. Then I'll say it in English. Mira, yo sé que mucha gente que está escuchando en Puerto Rico y Santo Domingo, República Dominicana, si ustedes son pentecostal, mira, perdona, yo no quiero ofender, Pero un problema muy, muy difícil cuando la iglesia, los líderes de la iglesia quieren forzar su religión a la gente indígena. Eso no es muy bueno, eso no es religión. Entonces, si tú conoces los líderes que hacen eso, tú le dices, eso no es bueno, ¿ok? Basically, what I said was, I don't want to offend anyone who's in living in the islands and are Pentecostal Christian, because I know some, and they're really nice people. But I tell them that they have a right to tell their leaders, if they're being forced not to follow their culture, then that's, they're just wrong. They're not following the true way of love, you know. And they have to confront their leaders. That's not right. You believe what right. you want, but don't force. And it's happening too much in the islands. Like that second wave. First it was Columbus, and now all you know, a lot of these churches is, I don't know, it's just, it's never ending. What do you think?
Well, I don't think it's separate entities. I think it's the same thing. It's always there. They're always recruiting. You know?
Definitely, they're always recruiting.
Recruiting, retaining, enforcing, and I'll have to think of what the other one is. But, yeah, those are, you know, that's the constant go-around with maintaining supremacy.
Wow.
You know?
Now, I personally know a lot of cool people. I know a lot of cool people who are priests or nuns and brothers. You know, they try their best, you know, to be respectful and so on. But the bottom line is they got to understand they're in a culture that's ancient, man. Our culture is ancient. You just can't show up and say, hey, we have the truth, you know. God, listen to us.
Yeah.
Listen to our truth, right?
Right. Right. I just don't understand forcing anything on anybody, you know, and especially within the capacity of religion or, you know, I don't subscribe to, you know, those organized ways, you know. You know, it's not what it is, you know, and the definition of God isn't what, you know, it's not the same, you know, theirs is, you know, a reference to natural resources, you know, we're talking gold and oil and, you know, diamond, you know, it's that's their God, and it's, you know, it's something that I encourage as many relatives who, you know, may have been brought up that way, you know, because I know we all have had some type of experience with it, whether it was, you know, on our own or, you know, just trying to identify find ourselves or whatever. But, you know, I don't understand a lot that's, you know, the main theme, no matter what you identify as, you know. And, you know, we don't have a history that is written in books. We don't, you know, our creation stories and our history is an oral one, you know, because once it's written in a book, then, you know, it's changed.
Yeah. Definitely.
It becomes, you know, somebody else's interpretation, and, you know, I just know shop talk and whatever. They say never talk religion, never talk money or politics. And those seem to be the things that keep us, you know, in this constant fight, basically. you know, just one of the water protectors, just was sentenced to 8 years. And I don't know if you saw
the kangaroo
the,
court?
No, feds, the feds, federal court.
Man.
And they just released a article that the Keystone, you know, people, they're
right.
suing for $15 billion.
Who's suing? The Keystone people?
The Keystone, the XL Keystone pipeline people are suing Biden, the United States, for that money, for interfering, you know, punitive damages is what I believe it was the headline.
I guess they try to rape Mother Earth, and they try to they stop them, right? And then now they want to collect money on that?
Well, you know, that's one thing you don't do with them types of people is interfere with their money. You know, and
yeah,
just like these churches that are burning down, I don't even believe indigenous are doing it. I think they're doing it themselves.
Mm.
You know, a little 7-year-old boy that I'm, you know, my sister, her little boy, smart little boy, you know, he's only 7 years old, told his mama that, you know, that those people are burning their own church down. They're trying to hide the evidence. Only that, they're trying to collect, you know, I encourage no one. Right. I don't encourage no one to touch, you know, to touch it at all, touch any of those churches. We need that. We need them to exist. And then once we have what we need, you know, may they do what, you know, not us, but may the owners do what they like, but not beforehand, you know, and, you know, here during those recent riots, it was their own doing it to, you know, the property damage. It wasn't even anyone of color or, you know, the normal suspects, you know, whoever, you know, suspect in everything, any crime that goes down, you know.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We got to hold our leaders accountable. That's the thing. This goes on far too much. We have to hold the leadership, people who are teaching these doctrines, you know, of hate and whatever. It's not right. It's just not right. But the people have to rise up. They have to rise up and say no more. This is BS.
Right. And they got to stop supporting, you know, because it takes a system, you know, to maintain a system, the importance of self-governing, the importance of, you know, not keeping a system in place, you know? There is, you know, it's just, it's if you keep going to the polls and you keep, you know, it will remain.
Well, that's the whole thing. This is why the native way, it's all about resistance, right? And trying to stick up for our traditions.
It's got to be something because I don't know. I pray for the solidarity and the healing of our nations, you know?
Well, a lot of people from all different parts of the world, right? Turtle Island. Jeez, where do you start, right? Where do you start? You know, people come here for hope. People come here for all bunch of reasons, you know, financial, whatever. But what about the old ways, the traditions? You know?
They got to be taught, you know? Because, you know, what I was going to say earlier is, you know, being that, you know, I'm a boarding school survivor too. You know, you, everyone, anyone who's indigenous are all boarding school survivors. But
the system,
that
right?
was not passed on. How to be Indian or who or traditions, anything were not passed on, you know. And, you know, the story of my mom watching her fill out a job app. You know, she had put white, and it offended me. And I'm probably, me. Well, my mom, she's the oldest girl of 10, but they say she's the whitest one. And growing up, you know, that's another thing we got to stop doing. We got to stop teasing one another over our skin tones, because that stuff does hurt. You know, my cousins, they call me a Washichula, you know, tell me my dad was a white guy, you know, and, oh, you don't know how bad that hurts, you know. But
that
blood, you know, that's what.
That's always going to be on the table, right?
Yeah, that's what colonizers, you know, they depended on that, you know, to create that inspiration from on and off res, you know.
Listen, if you live in a cold climate, your skin most likely is going to be lighter. You live by the coastal areas, warm areas, it'd probably be darker, right?
Right, that's what they say. Close,
you know,
to the sun,
so,
your skin.
I don't know. It's just, it's hard. Hey, check this out. How about intergenerational trauma? What's that, man? Have we been really discussing that as a people?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Intergenerational trauma. And there's a lot of other terms, too, they've been using now, but it's like we pass it down, right? And here we are, 2021. What's the trauma now? How do we heal from this trauma?
Boarding schools, colonization, over 500 years of genocide. It's time to thrive. That Stockholm syndrome. That survivor's guilt, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. All these labels, you know. That's what's got a lot of us weak right now, as far as, you know, physical, mental, spiritual, you know, everything, all of that, all of this. It's why we don't know who, what we are. I mean, if we knew our ancestors, oh my goodness. If we knew our, you know, our history, you know, all the things that were our culture, our religion. You know, if we knew them, and then after that, there was a period where elders wanted to be stingy with the info. You know what I mean? Didn't want to give it up. You know, and was picking and choosing. You can't pick and choose. Consciously, I don't understand that, choosing who deserves to know and who doesn't. I mean, my grandmas, my great-grandma and my grandma, them women, they were itty-bitty little things. But when they didn't want, you know, nobody to know what they were talking about, they would always talk in Lakota, you know. But you hear it so much. You hear it so much, you know it. So they didn't have too many secrets around me, you know what I mean? And, you know, if a lot of us just had a little taste, you know, of who we are and where we come from, there'd be a lot of difference in our nation. We wouldn't have that reservation mentality. You know, we wouldn't have love songs about commodity cheese, you know, kamabods, you know. And now our people, the second leading cause of death is diabetes. We never had diabetes.
No,
our diet was too lean. You know, number one is heart, you know, and then we've got suicide. And then we've got alcohol and drugs.
That's just a general.
Now we were breaking down into men and women, you know, what our cause of death is and ages. You know, of course it would be our murdered and missing. Either way, men or women. It'd be domestic violence.
Yeah.
Our women would are still, you know, five times more to be abused, raped, you know, in some abusive manner before any other. That's what we are suffering from. And
you talk about
cells have memory. We want to get all the way technical with it, you know. And it's time to, it's definitely a decolonizing. It will always be decolonized. But it's time to have some self-love. Love that you're a survivor. I am. I love it. And I'm thriving off of it. I'm not surviving off of it. I'm thriving. Look where I am now. From where I came from. I am honored to be, you know, a part of, you know, the Indigenous Power Hour on Taino Radio. And if that isn't a true example of, you know, some solidarity, I don't know what else is, you know. Thank you.
I appreciate that. True solidarity, yeah. I appreciate that. True solidarity. We got to work together. Together, no matter what. You know, it's funny. You mentioned self-love before. I teach that a lot in my therapy sessions with my clients. And one thing that's really hard for people, there's like seven levels of that self-love. And the first level is self-exploration. People just don't want to take time to learn about themselves, their history. It's like it's really hard for people to do that, to sit down and, you know, learn about their family, learn about their history, their heritage. It's really, really difficult for people, I find, to do that, especially my clients. Self-exploration, you know, which is connected to self-growth. But it's very hard for people to look at themselves, look at their history. And, it's really, really difficult. But once you do that, you get to learn. Oh man, you know this is why maybe I can't hold my drink, you know, my alcohol. I mean, this is why.
Exactly.
It's a history why I get machismo on my girlfriend, you know, and.
Yeah, why I miss out. You know what I mean? That's an old res term, miss out, you know?
That's great.
You know, you're right. And I don't, someone very close to me, when I would speak to him, you know, because he is an elder, he is medicine. And his family, and I, you know, I would tell him about people, and one thing he always remembered, or always made me remember, is, well, don't be that type then, you know, but he would say, well, don't be that type of Indian then, you know, and
look at that.
I said, why do you say Indian? And he is like, because you heard it as many times as I've heard it, that's, you know, and he laughs, you know, giggles about it, you know, saying it. But, you know, that's something we've got to grasp is that self-love, because once you have it, oh my goodness, it's do you remember me talking about getting back to that first touch, that touch before any other touch ever touched me, you know, or you or anyone? And that was that touch from Creator. That's what that self-love is. And once you have that, once you can, you know, fully just love you, that doorway to the Creator is just, it's just an open door, you know, and everything around you is reflected, even, you know, from the conversations you have and the company you keep. It's everything is blessed. Every step, it's like that good day, you know, like ice cubes. Today was a good day, you know. Everything just, that, it's like that every day. It's like that all the time, you know. And when it comes to, you know, situations or problem solving or whatever, crisis, you know, something that may trigger or things like that, it's so much more manageable. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not that stressful place. It's, you can plot it out. You can think it out. You can, you know, not come from a place or speak with a tongue that is, you know, spontaneous or, you know, the just whatever comes to mind, you know, because words are very, very powerful and they hurt. They can hurt or they can make you sad. They can build you up. But when you're in that, yeah, when you're in that self-love, you know, it's very easy to communicate, to give, to receive, you know, because, gosh, you know, having that independence, you know, that one, oh, I can do it, or I'll figure it out, or, you know, the one that doesn't want to ask for help because you've had to depend on yourself for so long, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, you deny the blessings, well, mm-hmm. you know,
well, part of that. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, you know, it's another level. Another segment of that self-love is that I find people have a hard time, including myself. I'm first on the line, self-care. And, you know, the other day I went to, you know, I'm diabetic, and the other day I was, I've been on a super diet, man, you know, but sometimes rough days I get, you know. And I remember one day I passed this store right in my neighborhood. I didn't even know they existed. You know, I'm new to this neighborhood, but I say, oh, dang, Coronet Pizza. Now, Coronet Pizza is, I don't know if anyone from New York knows this, but it's one of the best pizzas you can find in New York. And, you know, for $4, you eat a huge pizza. Huge, it's like three pizzas in one. It's a lot of dough. The dough's nice and crispy and nice and wow.
A lot of carbs and stuff with diabetic.
So I'm like, ah, really? In my neighborhood? So I walked away, you know, and then came back the next day, and I'm like, yeah, one doesn't hurt, you know. So I was like, man, I just blew 4 days of awesome dieting, and I ate that pizza, and it was great. I loved it, and I had to suffer the rest of the day.
Yeah,
so I felt lethargic.
Yeah, you did.
I couldn't work out. I couldn't work out like I wanted to. And man, but it was so cool, man. Tastes good. It was like, wow, that sauce, that cheese, you know. It was like, But then, you know, that's instant gratification. And later on, I'm like, oh, damn it, man. I got stomach pains and now I'm lethargic. Self-care is so hard, man.
Very, And especially if you are a parent, a caretaker, you know, whatever. I mean, because, you know, even people who don't, who have pets, you know, or manage people. I mean, you know, you don't have to be taking care of somebody at your home, you know, but if you take care of people, you tend to absolutely forget about yourself. Because I know within my capacity of parenting to just my own, not all of the relatives and neighborhoods and, you know, not all the kids that I've taken care of, just mine. We're talking almost 28 years. So my youngest is 10. And you still got a little time with that dude, you know, one day.
Oh, man,
you know,
that's great.
Well, one day he said, when I have three boys and one girl, and when the youngest one, they all got old souls, please believe me. They're like old grumpy men. And my daughter, I swear, she's like my fourth son, you know. She's a great girl. Never asked her mama for nothing, you know. She's real, you know. Matter of fact, her nickname is Stank, and it wasn't because she was stanking or anything like that. It's because as a little itty-bitty thing, she would look at you, Stank. You know what I mean? Like, that's how she got the name. So,
that's right.
There was a long period that I forgot my name. Because all I heard was mom, 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 you know. And now I hear mom, grandma, you know, besides.
Oh, man, so cool.
You know, I tell you what, Mr. Sanagori, I still giggle when somebody says, hey, aren't you 4-1? You know, like,
oh,
I still giggle. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because I don't hear it like, you know, I hear mom, you know, everything but my name, you know.
Yeah.
Or even just hearing April. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, April, you know.
Mm.
So I know what it feels genuinely like to give so much care to others and not care for myself. You know, so it's
right.
It's real important. And let me tell you, if you don't take care of you, who's going to take care of your kids or whoever your man, you know, whoever you care for?
That's it.
So it's so important to have those moments of just to yourself and don't feel selfish about it in one bit, you know. Gotta love you. Gotta take care of A1, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be your own number one fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, you know, we got enough killing us that we don't need to be a, you know, a co-party to it. You know what I mean?
Because
some of these ailments were something, it was something about our lifestyle, you know, that caused this.
You know what's interesting? Anyone who watches Hispanic, there's a lot of soap operas, right, that come from Mexico. You know, a lot of these shows come from Mexico, Venezuela, and so on. And, you know, you always hear the criticism about Mexican soap operas that it's always like Caucasian looking women and men that are on these soap operas, and then the servants or the brujas, the witches, are the natives, you know. And you know, you always hear these complaints from people who are native or recognize their indigenous ways, you know. But it's just so rampant how we have to defend our culture. And you know, there's a show, there's a character in Hispanic TV for many years. Her name was India Maria, Maria the Indian. And she dressed like, you know, very colorful garbs, you know, Indian colors, like Mayan colors and stuff. But she was like a dope, you know. That was her character. She always got into troubles. She wasn't the smartest person. You know, they made it like raggedy too sometimes, you know. So, and this went on for years, India Maria, you know, and people laugh at her, you know. It's like they're laughing at the indigenous. So what, you know, when a child looks at that, what are they learning, right? What are they learning about their ways, about their culture, their people?
Well, a lot is look at how programming has changed, even in television. You know, how it used to be, you know, family-orientated shows, you know, and it'd be the traditional mom and dad roles went like that for years. And now look at what's on TV now. You know, as beings, we come into this world knowing nothing. I mean, some of us, I mean, we all, you know, carry that trauma and cells have memory. And I'm not talking about that. That's something that develops as we age, you know. It starts manifesting itself, you know. I'm talking about, you know, in infancy, you know, fresh into this world, you know, they come into this world knowing absolutely nothing. And so everything is taught to them from pain, even thriving. That's where the word thriving comes from. It's because infants don't thrive. They have to be taught how to live by the mother or whoever is taking care of them. And so a lot of our mannerisms and, I don't know, how some people even identify, I believe, is through influence besides experience, right? You don't just all of a sudden one day, you know, think you're a bull rider. You get what I'm saying? You had to witness it, or you had to come across it somehow that sparked your curiosity. You know, you just don't come into the world saying, you know, I'm a bull rider. You know, you had to be around it. You know, so. Definitely. I don't know. We have to be very careful with, you know, how we carry ourselves. It should always be in a sacred manner, you know? Never know who's watching, who's looking.
Well, this is one thing I learned, like, in my practice as a vejique or medicine person, is I need to be the first one to apologize, you know? Be the first one in that room to say, damn, sorry, I messed up. You know, I really messed up, and see how I can change my ways. You know, that's that first step to healing. You know, it's like, yeah, I screwed up, man. Yeah, I offended you, or I hurt you, but all right, let's see how we can do this together. You know, so that's the hard part. That whole community aspect.
Having that accountability. You got to take accountability for your actions and your words and how you carry yourself. You know, you got to be mindful of all of that. All that comes back to you one way or another.
Yeah.
And you may
yeah.
not see it now, but you'll see it.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, sometimes people ask me, I believe I'm called to be a medicine person, you know, a medicine leader and stuff. You know, how do you know you are? Well, I was always taught that medicine people are the most courageous people because they're the first ones to say they screwed up, you know, they screwed up and they're going to try to figure out a way to make it better, you know, restore balance in their lives. And they try to help other people do that.
Right. But, you know, that's also the characteristics of a woman and of a man.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And which is that circle we need to remain in, you know, that we remain in, you know. But that's that medicine we are.
We are the medicine.
Exactly.
That's why I was extremely upset. I think we mentioned this in the show 2 weeks ago. That when all these in Canada, when all these thousands of children found burials, secret burial sites, right? That the Pope said it's time for healing. You know, we have to heal, but he never apologized. He wants everyone to heal, but he didn't apologize. Come on, man. That's not right. See what I said? The medicine person is the first one to say, damn, sorry, I screwed up. Let's try to figure out a way to make this right. Couldn't even apologize. Worldwide TV, you know? What do you think?
If he apologized, then that would mean he was taking responsibility for what? And at this point, ain't nobody took no responsibility for those babies.
That's right.
Only ones taking responsibility are the family and the tribes for the remains. And then We have to give it up. We gotta get out of this slump that we're in, and we need to get that healing started. We gotta get it going, because if we don't, it will happen again, and it will continue to remain this way. We don't need to be a part of the system that keeps the system in place. You know, we need to rise up. We need to organize, and we're pretty far from that right now. We're talking a good game, but you know, we're coming with trauma and pain and hurt, and those aren't places that a skilled warrior comes from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to be another, you know, atrocity. Another, you know, another number added to the genocide.
That's right.
You get to slip in. You get to bleeding on people who didn't hurt you.
Well, it's funny. One of the things that, you know, Taino Radio is a public service of Arayeke, Yukayek, Taino tribal sovereign nation. And one thing that we've been working on is when we get back to the homeland, we unfortunately we have to buy back our land. But once we buy it, once we're there, we're going to raise that flag and say, guess what? We're back. We're here as indigenous people, and they can't tell us we can't. Can't tell us. We're going to teach those traditions that everyone needs to eat. Everyone
needs
to...
We're
going to
create those economies. We're going to create, we're going to buy. You know what I mean? We're going to invest in us.
That's right, us. And you know what the hard part is that capitalistic mentality. Well, I want to buy, well, I want to invest to buy my land, you know, our, you know. But we have to just flip that a little bit and say, how about our land? You know, our ancestral land.
Exactly.
Let's invest with that. So that's another section of colonization. It's a hard one. It's that whole concept, right, of the arrows. One arrow can be broken, but many together is unbreakable. If I can buy 2 acres of land and someone else could buy 10 acres of land, another one can buy 25, and then we all put it together, man, that's unbreakable right there. That's a powerful community right there, you know?
There's power in numbers.
Yeah, and then we select people. We call these tribal leaders, right? That can maintain the fairness, right? The justice of it. That's what the leaders are there for, to maintain that justice, make sure justice is the centerpiece, that there's no corruption, you know, that there's no division.
That our leaders create more leaders.
That's it. Servants, right? The workers. That's how you're going to disassemble this colonization. But it's a process.
And it's obtainable.
Yeah. And you're going to be our invited guest, you know, our supporter there, because we're our indigenous. Yeah. Anyone's looking for a home, we got you, man. We got you. Anyone's looking for a home, as an indigenous, we're going to try to build that community to help other indigenous peoples. Hey, 4-1, I have one of your songs. We ran out of time. We're way over time, but check this out. You have your song. It's called Higher Up.
It's going to debut right here.
Taino Radio.
Taino Radio, thank you. And this is a song that I did with Supervillain, and he is Potawatomi out of Chicago.
Oh,
so the inspiration behind, you know, this song was, you know, the power of woman, you know, and wanting and needing spirit of man to pick himself up, you know.
Rise up.
Rise up, exactly. So, you know, it's substance free, you know.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's great. Yeah, Arayeke to rise, you know, that's great. I love this. Okay, let's hear it, and then we'll end the show with this song. Okay, how about that? Higher Up. How about that? Well, thank you once again, 4-1, Indy 4-1, for being with us in this beautiful Indigenous Power Hour activism. We have to be active, right?
Absolutely. Voice is a powerful weapon.
That's right. This is it, man. All you people listening out there, all you Taino, indigenous folks, there's a word we use. It's called guasavara. It means war or warrior. But it's a nonviolent war that we're taking upon ourselves. Our weapon is knowledge and healing. We got this. We got this, 4-1, right? We got it.
So, absolutely.
Let's hear the song. Thank you for sharing your song with us. Peace out, everyone.
Trust me, I can take you higher.